It's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning. You're very welcome along to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. It is Tuesday, the 9th of December, 5 minutes past nine. How are you all keeping? I do hope you're very well indeed. And we're looking at the window here out the mountaintop, Letterkenny. And it is dark. And it is the calm before the storm. Stay safe, everyone. And maybe, you know, you've had to take today off, or you've been allowed to take today off, or with the schools being closed, you've had to because maybe you didn't have someone to look after the children. Well, hopefully, if you don't always get an opportunity to listen to the 9 till noon show, you'll enjoy the show with us today. And we invite every morning people to get involved with the conversation. If there's any information we can pass on, by the way, that you think might be useful to others, that's what we're here for. That's what we're all about here. We're more than happy to do that, but we'll also keep you up to date with any news that we get, but also all the exciting stuff we've got lined up for you. So those telephone numbers to get in contact with us. WhatsApps and texts to 086 60 25000, 086 60 25000. We're always welcoming your calls to 07491 25000, or if you want to email, it's comments@highlandradio.com. And we also stream the show every day for people to watch, and hundreds and sometimes thousands of you watch every day, and we love our loyal listeners right across our various platforms. Firstly, you can watch the stream on our website in the Watch Live section. I don't often mention that, but we're also on the YouTube platform. We're on your smart TV, your Fire Stick and mobile devices there. Just search Highland Radio Ireland. We're across the Facebook pages and on the X platform as well, right where we get more of our international viewers on X. It's an interesting mix, though, of where people choose to watch. Anyway, so stay tuned. Don't forget, as I say, pass on any information that you have that you might think might be useful to others. We haven't seen the strong winds yet, so we're not anticipating any major reports. But there are, strangely, especially on roads that have just been completed or work has just been done, one of the most dangerous things I find when I'm out in the road is those water pooling. Do you know that water pooling on the side of the road that catches your left wheel? It's horrible when that happens. So you have to keep a good tight grip of that steering wheel, don't you? Because I'd be watching for everything, and then sometimes you can miss that little bit of water there. And stick your lights on as well, too. I know most people do, and many cars actually have daytime driving lights, but many of us, too, have cars where you have to stick them on manually, and it doesn't cost you a shilling on ESP. Stick them on there, and it means that everyone has a good chance to see you. Let's run through the front pages of the newspapers this morning, and this is coming down the line for a lot of people listening to us in their 30s and 40s, I would imagine. We're getting early indications of sort of a change as to how we live out our older lives. This is in the Irish Daily Mail. The number of people still renting from private landlords at age 65 has doubled since 2011. More people in their 40s, 50s and early 60s are renting than ever before, while the age when people first step onto the property ladder has jumped from 26... You know, that was achievable. That was back in 1996. I was able to do that, thankfully, on a really very, very modest wage with a little bit of creative thinking, I have to be honest. But now, if you do get on the property ladder, if you're lucky enough, on average, you're 36, which often means your mortgage 25, 30 years, you know, if you're lucky, you're paying it well into retirement. Reading on, though, it also means many people are starting or already have families while renting, and many are without the kinds of financial protection they would normally have if they were buying a home. Soaring rents and rising numbers of older tenants are leaving more families financially exposed in the event of an unexpected illness or life shock, Royal London Ireland, which conducted the research, warned. The research found market rents are now two-thirds higher on average than the Celtic Tiger peak. The average monthly rent for a two-bed apartment nationally is now €2,080, which is almost €25,000 a year. So can you imagine having to pay that? But is it the case that you know, your ability to pay rent should be favourable for you getting a mortgage, shouldn't it? I mean, if you're able to pay €2,080 for an apartment, I hope we're at a point whereby, and I suspect we're not, that, you know, your ability to pay and your pay record on that would prove your ability to pay back a mortgage, even if the numbers didn't precisely add up. Maybe I'm being naive, but you would hope that's the case. On to the Irish Times this morning on page two of their paper. And the government paid 367 million euro in 3 months to provide accommodation to international protection applicants and people fleeing Russia's war in Ukraine, new figures show. Most of the beneficiary companies have unlimited status, availing of legal structures in which they are not required to publicly report on profits, losses, dividends or debts. So that's 367 million. The people that got in on that at the beginning did really well, didn't they? And it's a bit of a closed shop too, because I know people who wanted to give up their property back in the day. Was it 800 a month or something? But it was the big boys that had already had their teeth into the already had their teeth into this area that were kind of sweeping all of that up. So it ended up costing the state far more than perhaps it should have. The shareholders in some companies are also held offshore in the jurisdiction, such as the Isle of Man, where tax on businesses is low and little or no financial information is publicly available. Figures from the Department of Children, Disability and Equality show the state paid 285.4 million on international protection and related costs in July-September. In the same period, the amount spent on Ukrainian accommodation and related costs was 81.7 million. Companies linked to Monaghan GEA football team manager Seamus Banty McEnany and his wider family were among those in receipt of payments. They include Brimwood Unlimited, which received 3.11 million in 3 months, and IMA Ventures, which received 2.69 million. The payments include 12.58 million to Cape Wrath Hotel Unlimited Company, the former City West hotel owner, whose deal to sell the complex to the government for 148 million closed in September. It's a very small amount of people taking in all of that money. You think? I just think the Irish government perhaps could have got it cheaper. Are you familiar with Cara Darmody? She is a young activist and she's preparing for a 50-hour sleep out in protest, a sleep out protest in the hope of highlighting the National Assessment of Needs crisis. There are 18,000 children in Ireland awaiting an assessment of need, with the figure expected to rise to around 25,000 before the end of the year. Cara, who's 15 and from County Tipperary, will camp on the street outside Leinster House for 2 nights, starting at 11 a.m. today, and will meet with opposition party leaders during the day. The teenager said the purpose of her protest is to call out the blatant assessment of needs law-breaking by the government by not assessing autistic children within the legal time of 6 months. They are smashing the AON law in 93% of cases, with the figures gone from 15,000 to over 18,000 since my protest last May. She's a powerful young girl and advocating on behalf of an awful lot of young people. I'll remind you, 11 billion we took in 1 month. I don't want to keep banging the drum on that, but how could we have 18,000 young people in that situation when we have so much money around the place? Gardaí believe they've identified those who ordered and carried out the firebomb attack that led to the murders of a four-year-old boy and his grand aunt. This is in the Irish Daily Star. The paper has learned a notorious criminal is suspected to have orchestrated the arson on a house in Edenderry in County Offaly after his associate was attacked by another prisoner in a jail bust-up the day prior. Tadhg Farrell and 60-year-old Mary Holt died when a petrol bomb was thrown at the property on the Castle Park estate on Saturday night. Hey, you have some money anyway out there, because Irish consumers' spending soared to festive heights during Christmas 24, with shoppers dashing through the aisles and ringing up new records. Some 80 million AIB card transactions were carried out in December last year, with the total spend reaching 3.9 billion. That's a 9% increase compared to December 23, with shoppers on course to break spending records again this year. So don't be tight. If you're spreading love, send some my way, why don't you? And finally, we're going to be covering this in a moment. As you know, Ireland is braced for strong gusts and heavy rainfall as Storm Bram hits the country today. The status orange wind warnings are in place for 18 counties with flooding and travel chaos feared. Now, as it turns out, the weather warning slipped back in the day today and will run until 10 p.m. this evening. So that's thrown into question some events. We're going to have some details of that and word from the council on their preparedness as we take a quick break. We'll be right back. Right, OK, let's go to Gary Martin, Director of Emergency Services at Donegal County Council. And Gary, you on your teams have been working on this, haven't you? As soon as we got information that we could be facing into some extreme weather. It's now a storm, of course. What is the message you want to get out to the public there, Gary?
Yeah, no, good morning, Greg. I suppose we've been preparing for this since Sunday. There was a national meeting called on Sunday with the emerging weather event. So our severe weather assessment team have been reviewing it since then, including a number of meetings yesterday. What's slightly unusual about Storm Bram is that it's quite an evolving storm, in the sense that it's got a lot of different moving parts between the wind, the rain, the coastal surge with potential tidal lock, and I suppose just the offshore storm warnings as well that we have. So lots of different moving parts, which means that for the Met Éireann forecasters, it's quite difficult to pin down. Even this morning, there was an update with regard to the timings. And so I suppose the couple of first messages I'd like to give to the listeners this morning, Greg, is that we're currently in a period of a yellow wind warning from 6 a.m. this morning, and that'll run until tonight. But in the midst of that, for Donegal, the height of the wind event in Donegal will be from 2 p.m. today until 9 p.m. tonight. So that's the time of particular concern that we have, and that has been evolving and moving out over the last 24 hours. We also have that red marine warning that's in place until 8 p.m. tonight. That effectively means that just offshore, we have the potential for violent storm force events, which will have a minor impact, I suppose, on the coastal areas adjacent to that. And again, nothing is certain in relation to all of this. We would certainly urge huge caution for people in coastal areas. You know, stay high, stay back from the water. Don't go near any of the low-lying promenades or piers or that, just in case there is onshore waves that could cause danger.
What might be the consequences of that for the usual hotspots, say, for instance, your Donegal towns, your Killybegs, your Burton ports? It all depends on weather direct wind direction, of course, but we do have that wind and the tides. So what's the story there, Gary?
Yeah, look, in preparation for that, we forward deployed sandbags to Donegal town last night. It's one of these places, again, Greg, you know as well as I do, it's just constantly under threat if we have a particular weather conditions, including southwest winds. Now, we were okay this morning. High tide this morning, I think, was at 8:40 a.m. So we were fine there in Donegal town this morning. There'll be another high tide event at 9 p.m. tonight. The winds, I think, at that stage are forecast to be coming from the southwest direction. So there's also a risk there. So the pier in Donegal town will remain closed until 11 p.m. tonight. And again, we would just urge caution for anybody in that particular area around those times. There's also, I suppose, over the next 24 hours, consistent and persistent rain. That on top, I suppose, of the already waterlogged ground, the very, very, very full rivers, gives rise for the potential for localised flooding. We've seen it, you know, since Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Anybody that's been driving on the roads in Donegal will see localised small flooding events, water pooling on the roads. And we would really urge people to be cautious, to slow down, to drive very, very carefully, because you don't know when you might run into one of these pools of water, which could cause you difficulty in controlling the vehicle that you're actually in. So it's, as I say, it's a multifaceted event. And really, I suppose the advice that we're giving everyone until probably midday tomorrow, taking into account the rain and everything else, is, travel if necessary, but do so with caution. Reduce your speed. Be mindful of the environment that you're in. during the yellow one warnings, which we're now in, and particularly during the orange one warnings, which run from 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. tonight, be very, very mindful that there could be debris, there could be flying debris, there could be branches down, and so on and so forth. So just again, be very, very cautious as you go about your business.
Just
today.
In relation to that, you know, given the experience of your teams, the wind direction, the time of the year, and how maybe trees are laden or previously weakened in former storms, it's inevitable, isn't it, that we will see trees down, Gary, and of course this is why people are only are asked to travel unless it's necessary, because it is only timing that would prevent a tragedy unless we sort of intervene in that regard.
Yeah, look, you just got to be really, really careful. You know, the thing about these weather events, Greg, is that you really don't know the true impact of them until they actually hit in an area, and then secondly, the localized nature of these different types of events. Like, there have been suggestions as well that with the high winds later today and into this evening, that there may very well be electricity outages. So again, we'd ask people to prepare for that. The normal advice, you know, have your phones charged, make sure that, you know, you have, I suppose, you know, torches and so on and so forth available in the event that the lights do go out later on. The fact that we have the orange one warning running from 2 p.m. into the early hours of darkness, you know, from 5 p.m. and then through to 9 p.m. tonight, means that we may have a situation where some people may be without power later on this evening. But again, a huge uncertainty. But as everything, you know, you prepare as best as you can for these types of eventualities.
If we come across trees down or roads flooded, is that information that the council is interested in, and how do we pass it on?
Yeah, we do have actually up on our website a number of numbers that people can call, both the ESB, the council, and indeed emergency services. And look, again, we would certainly urge people to put in the phone call to any of those bodies. It's up on the Donegal.ie website, all the different contact numbers that you might need. You know, take them down, have them available in the event that you see something that needs to be reported. And either our teams or indeed teams from our other agency colleagues will be responding in due course.
And look, we're well used to it. We live in the Northwest. We get this weather. All we have to do is just use the stuff we've learned. It's nothing. I don't want people to think that we're trying to frame it as something we haven't seen before. But if we all follow our common sense and the basic guidance, we'll all get through this fine, Gary. Listen, thank you for your update. And I know the council teams are remarkable in how quickly they respond and get out and get the roads cleared. It is quite remarkable, but it's very much appreciated. The same for the ESB, who will have to respond. So best wishes to all of them and our thanks. And Gary, unless there's anything that you feel you need to add, thank you for joining us.
No, thanks, Greg. And just again, final reminder to your listeners, just to care today. Think twice before you're doing anything, given the weather conditions we have at the present time.
OK, thanks very much. Gary Martin, Director of Emergency Services at Donegal County Council. So yesterday, as Gary pointed out, yesterday the weather advice, the weather forecast was very, very different. It was a yellow wind warning, and that was to lapse around about 5 o'clock. Since then, it was upgraded to orange and now will run until 9 or 10 o'clock this evening. So obviously, Highland Radio has been keeping a very close eye on that, because we have our big Christmas concert on this evening. Sean Quinn joins us now. Sean, the tough decision has had to be made, but this is different because it's only actually a short little shift, really. So talk to me about the decision-making process here in relation to the concert.
Yeah, so Greg, Gary put it there very, very well, in fairness. Travel and don't travel unless you have to. So we've taken the unfortunate decision to cancel this evening. I think health and safety is paramount. There's people coming from right across the county and further, and we've got musicians that are looking to travel as well. The fact that they extended it from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock under Amber, I think it's the right thing to do to cancel. People's health and safety is far more important. So tonight is cancelled.
So it's rescheduled January, February, March, April?
No, the good news.
Go on.
I've been working all morning since 6 o'clock this morning. We've managed to actually put it all together for tomorrow.
Tomorrow night.
So tomorrow night, brilliant, we are going to have our Christmas concert with the same lineup. Derek Ryan, Jerry Guthrie, Keith and Lorraine will be there. Des Willoughby, obviously David James and his band. The only replacement is Mike Denver can't make it, but we've been very fortunate to get Michael English to replace him, which is a brilliant replacement.
Well, it depends on who you're into. That's not bad, no.
It's very, very good. Yeah. So what we'll do is...
So Michael English, unfortunately for Mike Denver fans, he's not able to reschedule tomorrow, but Michael English is the super sub.
He's a major act. Mm. And now what we're doing is we'll transfer all tickets from today to tomorrow. That includes your rooms. So if you're booked for the Mount Errigal, we'll transfer them as well. If you can't make it, we can offer you tickets for our birthday bash, which is in March. So they're transferable to that. If it was a one-off and you can't make either, we'll obviously refund your ticket, or we'll give you a voucher for a future event that we have coming up. And we've, as you said, alluded to, we've loads of them coming up. So in a short space of time, I think we'll put on an amazing show, as tonight was going to be. Tomorrow will be just as good. Mm. And if you haven't bought a ticket, if you couldn't make it for tonight, but tomorrow you can buy tickets. They're still online at highlandradio.com. So you can go on today and that ticket will actually get you entrance for tomorrow night. So that may be the case for quite a few people, that you now have an opportunity, you can come along.
So your tickets for tonight are valid for tomorrow night. Your overnight package is valid for tomorrow night. Just for those who can't make it, and we hope everyone can, because it's going to be a great night. Obviously, people call us, people use the website, or go directly to the Mount Errigal. So if they need to make any queries about that, regardless of where they got the tickets, do they call us?
Probably the easiest way, if you've booked the hotel, contact the hotel.
Okay.
And what they'll do is they'll transfer you straight over from a room perspective. If it's a ticket, then come to us and ring us at the station here. Geraldine and Bronwyn will look after your inquiries. But if you can make it tomorrow, no need to call us. Mm. Just bring along your online ticket or the ticket that you bought from the hotel, and they're all transferable and honoured for tomorrow night. Same time, nothing's changed. Doors are open at the same time. And we'll have no storm. It'll be all safe. We'll all be good. And we'll have a brilliant night.
Doors open 7 p.m. Don't forget the show starts sharp at 8 p.m. You're so kind of used to that now, but it used to be 8:30, but now it's 8. So just make sure you get there at 7 and it kicks off at 8. Everything is the exact same. Mike Denver has been replaced by Michael English. So it's like bringing Pele on for Maradona there.
Pretty much so, yeah. That's actually a very good analogy, in fairness, Frank.
And your tickets are valid. If you have your ticket, you don't have to do anything. You just go tomorrow night instead of tonight. It's the same with your... If you're for an overnight stay, do contact the hotel and transfer that, just to be on the safe side.
Yeah.
And we can... Those tickets, if you give us a call, we can make them available for the birthday bash. But contact us anyway and we'll sort it out on a case-by-case basis. 07491 25000. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Greg. Thank you.
Right. Now, just to let you know, those garden numbers, the council numbers, these are emergency contact numbers, and no harm having these. So this could be any matter you believe is for the attention of the council, but also the fire service as well. Ishka Aaron, you know, people don't rely, if there's a problem with water, by the way, don't always rely on your neighbour to do it, because not everyone does, right? So the council during business hours, 9153900. The out of hours emergency number for the council is 9172288. The fire service, of course, 999 0112. Ishka Aaron, 1-800-278-278. We'll retain those numbers for you there. Listen, it's very possible that this all passes through and that we just used an abundance of caution and everything's fine. Or it could just be like we've kind of come to know, right? Some of us will lose our power. There'll be some trees down. The whole thing is just to make sure that we're all safe. And don't be trying to get that Instagram pic too near the coast, because... did you see what happened over in Lanzarote there? It kind of went under the radar a little bit, but there was a storm, and storms don't happen there very often, and they lost quite a number of people, storm chasers. A caller says, why does it take Meteran so long to announce these storms when you've Kenneth at the Donegal Weather Channel and Alan in Carlow able to forewarn us about these storms almost a week ahead of our national provider? It's not good enough. If the storm isn't affecting Dublin, they don't give a damn. I'll just give a little bit of a break here to Meteran, and I have been here as one of their biggest critics. There's a big difference being an amateur weather forecaster where you can look at three or four models and one of those models is kind of showing a potential for a storm. And you can say, right, guys, just a heads up, we could have a storm in 3 or 4 weeks. Met Aaron has to deliver whether they know. And that is no disrespect to Kenneth and Alan. They're two great guys, two regulars on this show as well. But they're not responsible or on the hook necessarily if, as I'm sure it happens, they get it wrong. People look for certainty from Met Aaron. People know they're going to get good weather from the channels that I've talked about, but they can sort of say, well, it could be this or it could be that, or I expect it could be red or it should be red, and throw a bit of an opinion in there. Met Aaron have to deal with the facts. You know, you've got many members of the farming community, boaters, the council, schools. You know, a school has to make a decision, and you know, you need someone that will say, no, definitively, we believe it's going to be this. Whereas the weather channels, which are fantastic, and I'm a big, big fan, don't get me wrong, they can sort of speculate a little bit in the weather in advance. Often getting it right, okay, but they don't have to exercise as much caution as the Met Aaron might. Whether that's right or wrong, it's just, in fairness, to try and balance it out there. Restorm Brown, I'm very disappointed with how the storm warnings are communicated. I took the day off work and kept my son off school for this storm. It's 9:30 a.m. It's so calm outside. When's the storm going to hit? Well, the weather wasn't, there was no warning that suggests that you should have done that, though it's probably the right thing to do. The decision, schools are making decisions about kids coming home, not going to school. Right. So I know, speaking to people who operate bus services, they're wondering what the weather will be like at 3 o'clock at pickup time. In the morning, it was going to be fine, right? Because the weather warning doesn't kick into 9. Things are going to ramp up through the course of the morning and into the afternoon. And it's how people get home. If there's a power outage at school at 1 and then all of a sudden parents listen, pick your kids up. Or if the bus company say, listen, we dropped your kids to school, but we can't pick them up. There's a lot of variables and a lot of principals are sort of looking for other bits of advice as to how to progress this. Okie doke, let's take a break, back with more shortly. Good morning, Rosie of Pure Boutique, in Letterkenny. Good morning, Rosie.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing good. Right, now, you've been really inconvenienced in the operation of your business because of air.
Absolutely.
So tell us what's been going on.
Right, first of all, it was actually on the 26th of October our lines weren't working and we knew that everything was okay, bills were paid, etc. So we actually further investigated and got through to air and they told us there was a fault on the line and that they were working hard to get it sorted. So that was that. So the next day, a week went by, we kept ringing them every day because the owner doesn't live in the country, so she can't really access, you know, the phone number from abroad. So finally, we did get her through to a number she could have used, and she was speaking to them for 45 minutes, explaining to them that our till system, our Visa machine, everything, you know, works off Wi-Fi. So to no avail, they kept saying, oh, it'll be another few days and all. So it's 3 weeks on now, Greg, and there's still no Wi-Fi, still no phone line.
Wow. And this is affecting only your premises, or is it a localised outage, Rosie?
We're not sure of that because when we did ask, they did say there was hundreds of lines that they were working on. And the guy, the operator, did say to me that it's not them that deals with it, that it's some company. But like for 3 weeks without Wi-Fi, we're literally using our hotspots and our phone to operate the till and to operate like a Visa machine. It's just crazy, like.
Yeah, of course. You know, you can't, and that's not fully reliable. And because of modern technology, I presume yours is one of those tills that has to pop open, you know, as part of the transaction,
exactly.
Which means it does need that mobile connection.
Absolutely. And not just that, Greg, our phone lines have been down and we had lots of customers that were ringing, you know, checking the status of an order of bridesmaids, etc. And they weren't able to get through to us.
Ooh, right.
And, you know, basically they weren't happy about that. And we had to try to explain. The only thing AIR have actually done for us is they've actually transferred our landline over to the shop mobile. That's it. That's all they've done for us, which, again, is not ideal because, you know, you're getting phone calls at weekends and everything when it's transferred over because I do social media on the phone.
Yeah.
So obviously I'm getting calls on Sundays and everything else because the phone's been transferred over.
absolute nightmare. And do you have a person that's dealing with this? Often when I cover stories like this, Rosie, people ring up and yes. It feels like they're starting the whole process again with a new person, you know, having to explain everything all over again. Do you at least have someone who's in control of this problem with AIR?
No. Every time we speak to someone, it's a different person and they're telling us the same old story. And then I was actually horrified. It's just come into my mind now. There was a lady came into the shop and I was explaining to her our Visa machine was down. So she went to get cash because my hotspot wasn't strong enough to do the till and the Visa. So she actually said to me that her neighbour was with AIR and they were 2 months and their children were studying and everything, 2 months without Wi-Fi and telephone. So it's obviously not just me.
Do you know what's interesting, Rosie? This is no use to you whatsoever, but I'm with a different company and we had an outage at the house and it was going to last a week. And they offered to send out a 5G router. They says, look, it's going to be out for a week. We can have one of these routers to you tomorrow.
Wow.
Gratis, like, I just would have to send it back. That was a different company, not AIR, I have to say. But you'd think they'd have something like that in place for businesses, wouldn't you? You know,
you definitely would because, you know, obviously we have a warehouse as well, which operates on returns. So people are trying to ring up, where's my refund? Where's it? Everything operates on Wi-Fi and it's just caused us so much hassle. We lost a lot of sales too as a result of having no telephone lines because Black Friday was there.
Oh, no.
And that was actual weekend that we had no Wi-Fi Black Friday weekend. Yeah. So it was a little bit crazy now, I have to say.
And I know Pure Boutique has a fantastic, well-earned reputation, but if people are ringing a landline number and it's not answering, it's not just the inconvenience of not getting through. It's potential judgment as well to say, oh, well, they're not answering the phone.
Absolutely.
So I think it's good that we're having this conversation just in case anyone was trying to get through and struggled, that this is nothing to do with you guys. It's all down to AIR. And the frustrating thing is they recognise there is a fault, but they're just not dealing with it as quickly as they should.
Yeah, it's, I kind of like one of the guys I was speaking to, I actually had to pretend I was the owner with date of birth and everything. And he said to me, oh, there's hundreds of lines, not just yours. But I said, we're a small business. We're trying to, you know, sometimes around this time of the year, it can be quiet for us as well and for all retail. So more important than ever, we need our, you know, operational 100%. Things such as our tills and our Visa. So they just seem not to care. And like you said, that your company gave you a router. Mm-hmm. We didn't get that offer whatsoever. We got nothing.
Vodafone offered the router. I might as well just say, because we're talking about different companies. They said,
I was with Vodafone and they're very good.
Mm. Okay.
But I just kind of feel like the only thing they did was transfer the phone over to our mobiles. So I would love somebody to even come back to me and let me know from AIR what is exactly the problem.
Right, well, we're going to obviously make our contacts with AIR and hopefully accelerates the situation and he's get sorted soon. You've already potentially took a hit in Black Friday coming into Christmas. You need these, every business, not you, every business needs any lift they can in these months because, you know, January, March, February, etc. Can be a little bit quieter.
Kind of grim.
Yeah, all right.
So you have to, you know, try to.
Okay. A lot of brides for Christmas time now. Is it more popular, Rosie, than it might have been in the past?
It is indeed. You see, bridesmaids are starting to come back again. You know, during lockdown, obviously, there was very small weddings, but we've got a very good bridesmaid at the minute, like bridesmaid business at the minute.
Yeah.
So we have orders that are coming in and we've got obviously customers that are coming in as well to view our products and everything. So it is very important that we keep in touch with them and that they can keep in touch with us as well.
Okay.
Because obviously, you know, they're spending a lot of money and they want to know where they're, if their bridesmaids are here. And that's what happened. Like last weekend, there was two sets of bridesmaids that were very annoyed because they couldn't get through. So that was when we got the phones transferred over then to the mobile. Mm. So at least we could get the calls, you know.
Right.
But
is there a colour trend for bridesmaids' dresses at the moment? Or is it a mixture?
Do you know what? It's a kind of mix, but there's a lot of people, believe it or not, are going for a black bridesmaid dress.
A lot of people going for a black.
Yes.
Yeah. Very good.
And it's quite easy for the mother of the bride then to obviously blend with that because she can choose any colour.
Yeah, lovely white dress. Listen, Rosie, we're going
to...
Oh, no, I've seen it and it's lovely. We're going to... Yes. We are going to chase up air and see if we can get any rest. A caller says the only way to deal with this is Comreg.
I have threatened them with that already.
Yeah, I know, but I would need my faith fully restored in Comreg to back that listener in that comment. But listen, maybe it might work for you. Let's see what we can do. Can't promise anything, but maybe hopefully the attention might speed things up. By the way, the phone lines for Pure Boutique are open now, by the way. They were down because of this problem with air, but since then they've been transferred to a mobile. So if you had any problem getting through... Yep. There's the regular numbers there up and running, and it was out of their hands. Thanks, Rosie.
Thanks so much, Greg.
Bye. Take care of yourself. A caller says 30 houses have no internet in Carrigart for the last 3 weeks because of a broken line. They guaranteed that it would be repaired by tomorrow, but it doesn't look like it's It's an absolute disgrace. Wowzers. This, I remember 3 weeks ago someone saying, is anyone else's internet out in Carrigart? Apparently 30 houses are down in Carrigart still. It's not going to be repaired by tomorrow because they're not going to put the crews out today. So you're facing into another day or two of no internet. But 3 weeks, 30 homes, normally, you know, things speed up if there's that many affected. Yeah, a caller did say Comreg's the only way to deal with air. No harm pursuing that. Right. Now, a caller says, another storm in a teacup. How the hell did we survive years ago? We live in a crazy world now. I understand what you're saying, and I've been trying to phrase the warnings in a way not to over-amplify it and put the living daylights up to someone. Of course, we know what to do. And as I said to Gary, what we do have now, the advantage we have now, and not everyone has it in the world, we know it's coming, right? So trampoline, tie it down, put it away. Your bins, put them around the side of the house or into the shed. Right. And if you're out in the roads, be conscious that a tree might fall or some of the water might be flooded. We're not predicting 40 days and 40 nights. We're just trying to get the information out there that's useful, but not alarming. Right. So at the end of the day, not everyone is as confident and looks for this information and reassurance. And that's what we're trying to do. Letterkenny ED, so busy this morning. Don't expect to get parked, says a listener. I wonder why it is so busy. If you're in the ED listening, what's going on? There is a big surge in flu, we know that. A caller says, when the electricity goes off, so does the mobile phone network. So there's no way to contact anyone. Why do the masts not have battery or generator backup? Some of them do, you see, and some of them don't. It just depends on where you live. Dr. Kira Steele, general practitioner, joins me on the programme now. Kira, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Good. Good to have you with us. There's a couple of things I want to talk about. Firstly, flu, right? Because a couple of people have said to me now, GPs, pharmacies, they're seeing quite a surge in flu. And also have highlighted that there's quite a lot of flu about in young people. What are you seeing in your practice?
Well, we actually offer flu tests in practice. So there are sentinel practices, GP practices within the county. But we actually just offer flu tests ourselves. So just on one occasion last week, we had 12 positive patients for flu A just in one day. So it's very high prevalence at the moment. Younger people are being affected as well as older people. And really, we would encourage anybody to get vaccinated as soon as possible. There still is time. It takes about 2 weeks for vaccination to take full effect. And as well, it's good to, you know, take other measures to prevent flu, like stay at home if sick, you know, try probably not to go into school if your child is sick, you know, cough etiquette, you know, all the usual methods to try and prevent transmission if you actually are sick as well.
Yeah, thankfully, most young people are resilient and, you know, they will shake it off, not without discomfort, of course, but they are transmitters as well. This kind of feeds into previous conversations we've had in relation to air quality in schools. It's really a hive of potential spreading.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some studies done in the UK and Ireland where about 73% of schools are poorly ventilated. And, you know, there's things that we can do to improve that. Most of schools depend on natural ventilation, which is open windows. And of course, on a stormy day like today or cold day in the winter, like it's very hard to open the windows all the time. And it's very hard to put that responsibility on the teachers, but to try and improve air quality in a stuffy classroom. So in a classroom with closed windows, the air flushing or the air ventilation or the fresh air getting to students is about 3.8 litres per person, whereas international recommendations are about 14 litres per minute of fresh air per person. And opening the windows, you know, can improve air changes per hour by about 2 to 3. And we know that really to reduce transmission in a classroom, that should be about 12 air changes per hour. And air changes per hour means all the air in the room, how many times that's changed per hour to help with ventilation, to help with performance, cognition, learning, and health and safety. And the thing about influenza is it can be a benign course of infection for some people, but for some people it actually generates chronic conditions like asthma, for example.
And, you know, I know what you're calling for, but if it was all there, it would just be running on in the background. If we had the right equipment and the right attitude, we'd just be getting on with our lives. You know, it's not that it would be a massive imposition or a huge change in what we're doing. It would just be the right equipment in the right places, battering along with better outcomes and health for our kids.
Yeah, well, there's two methods of improving air quality. One is retrofitting and mechanical, you know, ventilation, which is demand control. Technology is improving all the time. But there's also simple things we can do, like introduce HEPA filters into the classrooms, like the Mayor of London has done in all of the London schools, and as the Boston School Project has done as well. So these are real world practical interventions that can be done with, you know, cost effectiveness.
I must ask you about the progress on the surgical hub. I haven't spoken to you much since. The Minister for Health has taken a genuine interest, it seems, in the people of Donegal. Encouraged to hear from Mr. Michael Sugrue yesterday that a vacant consultant position had 8 applications, whereas previously, you know, you would struggle to get one. And also the fact that the project is up on the tendering portal. Things moving in the right direction. It's not going to happen overnight, but certainly this is one of those commitments that seems to be moving forward, Ciara.
Yeah, I think we're really grateful to the Minister for Health for engaging with the data that was presented, and, you know, to sort of make a really discerning decision to place the hub in 2 locations. I think that we need to be mindful going forward that there's a 2-year intervention or a 2-year period of implementation and actual delivery of the hub in other areas. And it's just mindful that we need to be aware of that for our location in Letterkenny, so that we drive it forward within that time frame.
And we're so close to 10 and I've covered so much. The other thing I can't talk about, we might revisit that next week later in the week if you have time, Ciara.
That's absolutely fine.
All right. Listen, no, I just wanted to touch on some of that more important pressing right now stuff. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All right, Ciara, thank you. That's Dr. Ciara Steele there, GP. We were going to speak to her about a HSE study or a study for the HSE that found making the weight loss drug Mounjaro available to public patients would not be value for money at its current price. So we'll tease that out because there's going to be different views in the medical sphere in relation to that as well. A caller said, should the schools close early today to be safe rather than sorry? I think many, many have. To be honest with you, I don't have a list in front of me, but many made that decision and it was as much about kids getting home than it was about them getting into school. So it's a tough call. Listen, there's just no doubt about that. Right, keep us up to date. If there's anything out there that you think we should know or should be talking about or share with fellow listeners, 086 60 25000, that's the WhatsApp and the text number. Give us a call on 07491 25000. We'll be back with much more on the 9 till noon show after we take a break.